The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Doing something that we've never ever done before, Tom. And I'm doing this podcast fully clothed, which is fantastic, isn't it?
We're doing it live.
We're doing it live, Kingy. It's the best state to be in alive, and that's certainly we are today. So,
look, forgive us.
You're a bit nervous, aren't you?
We are.
Because you're scared that I'm going to say something that is going to go Ken Bruce.
Yep.
Usually you can edit it out, but not today.
Not today.
So I'll have to mind my P's and Q's, Kingy.
Why were P's and Q's the letter selected to mind?
Absolutely no idea, Kingy, but they seem to fit the bill quite perfectly. As the Cats did last Thursday night, Kingy, for Gather Round, it was one of the more exciting home and away games been involved with in recent times for the Cats. There's been plenty, but that one was up there.
To be 30 points down halfway through the second quarter and seemingly shot too. Mm. Although there's sometimes when you watch the Cats and they get that margin down, you go, I think they're in a bit of trouble tonight. I never felt that in the box. I actually felt that they might find a way to dig themselves out.
Well, you always think you're a chance when it's free-flowing and high-scoring, which it was. That was going to be the problem. Could Geelong stop Adelaide from scoring? Because they were scoring themselves. But 5 goals down on the road is never a spot you want to be in, particularly against the Crows. The two things I think that went in favour of the Cats, and you know that I'm a glass half-empty man, but the things that went in favour of the Cats were a 5-day break for the Crows from the Gold Coast trip. We mentioned it in last week's Kerr's Hire podcast that, you know, we thought that perhaps Adelaide had set themselves for a big one on the road. You know, they lost in unlucky circumstances, some would say, but albeit they did lose. They were probably always going to be a little bit vulnerable late. And I reckon the tipping point, just before I get to the other thing that I think went in Cats' favour, I think the tipping point in the game or the momentum shift was late in the second quarter when the Cats just got it back to within a couple of goals. Stengel and Cameron, Cameron started well and then slipped into witness protection. He started to get a little bit of the ball late in the second. He and Stengel, I don't think Stengel got a goal, but I reckon he was involved in a couple. And it just got them back and got the momentum. And then from there, Adelaide were probably always going to be a little bit vulnerable late. The other thing, Kingy, that I think went in Geelong's favour is that the Crows' midfield is certainly on the improve. It's got more depth. They've added Cumming and Peatling from GWS. Yep. So it's certainly got more bite there. Rankin's become a midfielder. Saligo is a good player. You've got a couple others in there. I mean, Crouch is like your sort of
Dawson.
Ball winner. Dawson. So that they're building the midfield. They've got what you, I think you described it, Kingy, in the pregame as a three-headed monster.
That's the forward line.
Have you ever seen a three-headed monster, Kingy?
No, because it's...
What about in the dark?
Apparently, the three-headed monster is somewhere near Loch Ness. And we haven't
He got injured in bed, Loch Ness, so we haven't seen him. So they've got an, you know, Thilthorpe, Fogarty, and Walker are dangerous. What they don't have is a solid defence. You're looking at Worrell and Keane as your key defenders.
Yep.
They've played what? They would have been 70 games between them, I reckon.
Worrell has played 35.
Yeah, not many.
And who was the other player you said, sorry?
They call him Clingrat Worrell. He just hangs on all the time. And Keane.
Mark Keane, of course, the Irishman, former Magpie, has played 36, what did you say? 70 combined.
70, so 71. Yeah. So look, those two players, I will say jury is out as to whether they are going to be bona fide AFL key defenders long term.
I think Keane will be.
Possibly. But that Geelong got on top.
Worrell got lost.
And Hinge had an absolute nightmare. I don't mind Hinge as a player. Mm. He had an absolute mare. He was turning it over, Bakery sort of style. And so the Cats were able to take advantage. And credit to them, they were. Dangerfield up forward was great. Is that, we can probably talk about, and we've spoken about it before, is that at the expense of Ollie Henry, who had another quiet one? Cameron got involved, quiet period, but got involved. Stengel got involved. Brad Close played well. It was a good all-round team effort in the end.
Just on Ollie Henry, it seems that his teammates make a point to mention him when they're doing interviews post-game. Ollie Henry contributed some stuff.
Dangerfield did after the...
I reckon the week before that happened as well. Is that a point to say, we know he's struggling a little
100%,
bit?
100%, I think it is. They're trying to lift him because I think, and the reason for that, Kingy, is that they know that he can be a difference maker in a big game. Now, do they keep playing him? We spoke about that last week as well. I mean, how many games, poor games, can you have before they send you back to the twos? Do you think it would be this week? Coming off a win?
No. No,
he was very quiet again. And I was thinking about it, Kingy, and I don't think about much.
Okay, let's put it in Bailey Fritch terms.
Yeah, you're not dropping him out.
Is he going worse than Bailey Fritch?
They'd be on a par.
Yeah, and Bailey Fritch hasn't been dropped, has he?
No, he hasn't, but they don't have much else. They've got Van Rooyen, and Van Rooyen...
I'll tell you the player that Melbourne are missing, and he wasn't...
Do you know Van Rooyen, he looks like the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and he plays like the Westgate. I'm telling you.
A player Melbourne are missing, and he wasn't huge against the Cats. He's actually Alex Neil-Bullen.
Yep, he wasn't a consistent type.
Yeah, he only had 12 possessions on Thursday night. He was actually one player Geelong kept quiet.
Yeah, he was quiet. But they are missing him. They're missing a lot of people. Melbourne, absolutely.
But he's one I reckon that he was a heart and soul player too in that group.
Yeah,
like popular with his teammates.
No lever hurts. I think May's out this week. Yep. They're in absolute Barney rubble. Yep. They've got Fremantle. Fremantle will pizzle Melbourne.
This is where we find out about Freo.
Well, against Melbourne.
But if they can come, well, no, whether can they come to Melbourne and...
Well, if they can't come to Melbourne and beat Melbourne...
Yes, that's what I mean.
They're in absolute rubble. They'll beat Melbourne. Yeah. I'm absolutely confident of that. But I was thinking about it, Kingy, is that Dangerfield, the role that Dangerfield is playing, which really suits him, and that's part of the reason why he's been very successful at it this year, is the closer to goal forward. You know, not coming right up the ground.
Yeah.
So he's dangerous close to goal. As long as Geelong are getting the service from the midfield, that's where you want him, because if he's not marking it, he's creating a contest. He's making the opposition nervous. There's always a chance they give away a free kick. His kicking has been pretty good this year for goal. He's missed the odd one, but he's actually been pretty good on the set shots. So that is the role that Ollie Henry would play. The closer to goal forward who can mark the ball and be dangerous in the air and make the opposition nervous with their aerial capacity, rather than that sort of forward like a Close or a Myers who come right up the ground.
Yep.
So that's... Then you've got Cameron doing the same thing, Neil when he's there doing the same thing. It's difficult then for Ollie Henry. He's sort of been the one that's been pushed a little bit sideways. So I don't know how it's going to work. I mean, you can't... You're not going to take Dangerfield out of doing what he's doing.
No.
He was the difference, well, one of the differences on Thursday night. He's been fantastic. So I don't know what they do with Ollie Henry. Do they? We had somebody off, mentioned a week or two ago, could you play him up the ground a little bit? Well, don't know. I mean, I would have said no, but maybe it's a ploy. You could try to get him into the game if you think that he's a key for you. And I still think he's a key player. Like, he's... A 3 to 4 goal mid-sized forward, they're hard to find. I know he's not doing that at the moment, but they are very, very hard to find, and I'm sure he'll work his way through this patch.
Where do you think we got our first bit of feedback from on the KFCX?
Daz.
He's listening.
Daz will be in Burbank.
Where I'm doing some math here.
Must be in the middle of the night.
No, it'd be 9 o'clock
at night.
Yeah, 8 o'clock.
He's probably just had a Shiraz or a Geelong bitter and a bit of Wagyu beef and resting on the couch.
So jump on the KFCX and you can post your questions to us just at KROQ Football and we can answer them live on the run. We do have other questions to answer, but... we're trying this format to be a little bit more interactive with our listeners.
We love being interactive, Kingy.
Ben.
Yes.
Behave. How was Adelaide for you? It was good to catch up with Dan Menzel.
It was. Dan was in fine form, wasn't it?
He was good.
Yeah.
Well, he always was good, but he was a lot of fun.
No, he was. It was sort of seamless, Kingy. We slipped into the old frivolity quite quickly and... look, he's doing very well for himself over there, Dan. He doesn't have a job.
He's got a lot of jobs.
Yeah, I know, but he doesn't have a job. He just said, I just do the old bits and pieces, which means I don't have a job. So
a lot of part-time.
Yeah, he's got married and he's had a son. And he's going really well. So it was really good to get his take on footy. He speaks very well. I mean, when he first came on with us years ago when he was injured with the Cats, he was young and he
was 23.
He was, yeah. But he's really quite a polished performer now. He sees the game really well. And the thing that you know, if you don't know him and, he's probably the Geelong player I know the best in terms of you know, I mean, I haven't seen him for quite some time, but when he was here at the Cats.
But that era.
Yeah, had a really good relationship with him, and you'd ring him during the week and, you know, yada yada, and Tom Lonergan was probably the other one. But the thing about Dan is he loves the footy.
Yeah.
He absolutely lives and breathes footy.
Hence.
You're not having 18 knee reconstructions and still coaching your own team out at Whoopsville.
Coorong.
The Coorong Cats. So they won the flag last year undefeated.
They'd have four training bases.
Yes, he did mention that.
One in Adelaide and three around in the Coorong area. But so Coorong, I don't think, is a town. I think it's a region. It might be the old-fashioned parish.
The old region. A parish. Of course, it was a parish. It was. We love a region. We absolutely love it. But, so he absolutely loves the game, and that comes across in the way that he talks about it. He's very passionate, and he was as happy as Larry that the Cats got over the top of the Crows.
Yeah, absolutely. The Hawks going okay, other than...
Well, they were. Other than the first half.
Other than the first half.
Yeah, look, massive game. Absolutely massive game on Monday. Going to be some great matchups. If you haven't watched a lot of Hawthorn, there'll be players you think, who the hell is that? Mm-hmm. And then they'll get it 25 times. You know, like McKenzie. I know Ward hasn't been in the team. He's come in the last week or two. He's quite a polished player. McGuinness is becoming a good player. Weddle is becoming a good player. They get Scrimshaw back this week.
Connor McDonald.
Yes. Yeah, he's another one.
He had it 28 times. Kicked two.
It'd be interesting to see whether Nash and Warple play. Mm. So if Nash and Warple are out on top of Will Day, that is a massive chunk of their midfield out.
It is.
I mean, Will Day's definitely out, but Warple came off injured late in that game.
And Nash.
And Nash hurt. He had an ice block that it looked like it may have been a similar type size that sunk the Titanic attached to his arm. It was enormous. So I'm tipping he had something that was broken. Mm-hmm. He came off. It's not often you see a player come off with a hand or a wrist or an arm injury. It looked like a hand or a wrist.
Yep.
And then instantly the players subbed out. Yeah. And the sub is on, and then you've got an enormous ice block on your wrist. I would have thought that would be... I'm only Dr. Googling here, but I would have thought that he has some sort of break or fracture. So there'd have to be huge question marks him playing.
Actually, I got a little bit excited. I was looking at the last game they played against Adelaide, not against Port Adelaide. Now, Connor McDonald didn't have it 28 times on the weekend.
Oh, I didn't think he did.
No, he didn't. Let me have a look here. He didn't even play. Who had the footy? John Newcomb had 29, Warple had 23, Dylan Moore had 22.
Dylan Moore is a very good player. Yeah. All Australian last year.
Did Gunston kick six in the end?
Against Port?
Yeah.
100% he did.
That's a fair effort.
Yeah.
How old? He's about 38, isn't he?
About 38.
No, he's not. Well, he's 33.
Well, he's topping up his super with his match payments.
He needs 9 goals for 500.
He's been a gun. Mm. He was very good. So the matchups.
Well, who does go to Gunston?
Well, I'd be looking at somebody like a... Zach Guthrie.
Yep.
I would have said Jack Henry, but he's not playing. Right. I would have said Jake Collar-Jasny, but he's not playing. So I think Zach Guthrie. The other one I think you could play on him, Kingy, is Mark O'Connor.
Yep.
Possibly.
Do Mullen and O'Connor need
Gunston? Gunston being his agility, he's not a super agile player, especially as he's older. That might suit O'Connor's straight line, because O'Connor doesn't have any great agility. He's a straight line sort of arrangement.
So who goes to Watson and Ginnivan?
Well, there are other matchups, Kingy. I mean, Mullen probably goes to Watson. Yep. I want to be careful there, because Watson is one of those
crafty.
They're a little antagonist. You just like to... Anyway.
We're live, Benny. Just a reminder.
We're live, are we?
Yeah, we're live.
I feel like Ricky Gervais in the Golden Globes. Would that have been live, do you reckon? Remember when he just pasted everybody? Would that have been live, done live?
It would have gone through the lawyers first.
Do you reckon?
Yep. Oh, yeah, that stuff all...
I don't know whether it went through the lawyers. Some of the stuff he dished out.
That would be very much ticked off before it goes to air. Daz
he ticked off a few, I know that.
Daz will be able to probably confirm that.
I wonder whether it was, because that was some of the sharpest 12 minutes you've ever seen.
Yeah, he's very good, Ricky.
He just started off with, I don't care. Honestly, don't care what I say. I don't care what you think. I just don't care.
They don't have a massive forward line. So how do they use De Koning and
Blitzars? Well, That's a good point, Kingy. They have a very good ruckman. Meek, they got from Frio's, developed into a really big physical...
You continue to go with Stanley.
I agree.
I think you go with Stanley until he just produces an absolute howler, and he hasn't done that yet.
No, he hasn't. He was good. Do you need Exhibit A as to why Sam De Koning needs to play in defence?
We got it last week.
It was last week. Against the three-headed monster. He was able to grapple the three-headed monster
by himself
and wrestled it to the ground. Yeah. He had Thilthorpe on a string, and he went in there as the equal Coleman medal leader game.
14, Fogarty 14, 12, and yeah. Walker 10, or vice versa.
So, we've got O'Sullivan, don't forget. So, I mean, Chole struggled last week against Port. He couldn't get a sniff.
Is that De Koning to Chole?
I would.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd be going De Koning to Chole.
Where does Blitzarves in?
Well, that's an interesting one, Kingy. Is this the opportunity to throw Blitzarves up as a midfielder?
Potentially. You get Stewart back this week too, by the way.
Stewart back. So I'd be happy with Stewart on Moore.
Yep.
Possibly. I don't know. Moore's one of those blokes. He's so dangerous. I know he's just the most unassuming sort of player who's just got very, very good over the last 3 years. He's the bloke who bob up kick two or three. Do you want Stewart rebounding more? I mean, I don't know. O'Connor maybe. I'd be thinking O'Sullivan.
Does he come? Is this where O'Sullivan comes up the ground a bit?
Well, maybe. Are we too tall in defence? O'Sullivan, Blitzarves, De Koning, Stewart. We've got some tall timber down there. They've got Chole and then no one else. Yeah, Gunston. They're all about 2'4".
Gunston's the next tallest.
So. It's an interesting. I mean, we went in last week against the Crows, and you were sort of thinking there were obvious matchups. And I said last week that the Geelong needed to get the matchups right last week to win. This week it's not as clear cut. Mm. There's you want to get them right, obviously, but it's not as clear cut, particularly in defence. So how they function that? I hope they leave De Koning in defence because he looks comfortable. I said last year, Kingy, and you know how much I love Sam De Koning playing the ruck.
Mm.
Loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing since...
Not.
No, I thought it was the most horrific thing. Do you reckon Carlton have put in Jacob Wiedering in the ruck? Not a chance.
Yeah, but Jacob Wiedering's not 203 centimetres, is he?
No, he's probably 109. No, my point being that you don't put
your... Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You don't have the Ferrari out on Weller Street, do you? You don't. You just don't.
And if you do, you're lost.
Yeah, and you do, and you expect bad things to happen. And when you come out with your hands in the air going, oh, my God, someone's going to say, I told you so.
Just from Daz Broncos, the Golden Globes was very live and the opening monologue was scripted, but Ricky did add his nuances to great effect.
Right.
His nuances. Is that the first time nuances
is that like when Jimmy used? Morrison went on the Ed Sullivan show and he was...
I was singing Light My Fire and told not to say... Girl, we couldn't get much higher.
Yeah, and he did.
And he
expressed it.
He did.
Ed's tie would have just gone to the left
and
eight times.
And the Doors never appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show again.
Do you reckon they cared?
I don't think
Absolutely
so.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What were we talking about here? We've got lost.
The Ford line.
The Ford line of the Cats?
No, the Hawthorn.
Well, who's
and
playing?
DeKoning. We're talking about
DeKoning, right? Yeah. So let's hope he stays in defence. What I was going to say was last year I said that while I hated him being in the ruck, I thought it might be the making of him. He came off an unbelievable season in the Premiership year.
Yep.
He copped some really heavy knocks early in 2023.
Three, correct, yep. Yeah, I think game on the Gold Coast.
Some really heavy knocks that seemed to sort of knock the stuffing out of him. He had an okay year but struggled at times. He wasn't horrendous, but he wasn't anywhere near 22 levels. And then last year he was sort of going nowhere and they've thrown him into the ruck against his brother against Carlton, who tailed him, absolutely tailed him. But I said at least it may be the making of him in terms of just hardening him up, thinking not everything's going to be given to me, I'm going to have to work at it. So he's had the time in the ruck. He's had up and down time in the ruck. He's played okay. He's been well beaten. There's been a mixed bag. But the last couple of weeks when he's gone back into defence, he's just looked so solid, hasn't he? His defensive positioning is great. He's tall. He's quick. He looks like a A1 defender. He and O'Sullivan together for the next decade will look good.
If David Attenborough was doing a doco, he would say, here's Sam De Koning in his natural habitat.
Possibly. Possibly.
Because
you feel like you've had to derobe when you said that.
Did I? No, it wasn't. Huh? Remember, we're live, Benny. Carrickfootball.live.
Thanks. Not still, are we?
Carrickfootball.live, right. Bringing you the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It is good, isn't it, Ben?
Absolutely.
Do you want some questions, Ben?
Look, absolutely.
By the way,
yeah,
there could be 90,000 at the MCG on Monday.
What's it supposed to be, 19?
Yeah.
Is there a sprinkling of rain?
Yeah. Yeah, are you just looking at the bureau?
No, I'm not. I'm just looking at something coming through on my desk for work. But, it's supposed to be warm Saturday, dropping off Sunday, and then 19 and okay Monday. So they should get – and it's a Geelong home game, isn't it?
It is Geelong's only Melbourne home game.
Yeah, which is, it'll be good for the coffers. That'll be ka-ching, ka-ching.
I think the Cats were hoping for 75.
They'll get more than that.
And they will.
Surely.
Get, yeah, I think they're going to –
they'll get 85. I don't know if they'll get 90. Do you think they'll get 90?
No. It'll the thing that will hurt a little bit is that school goes back the following day and whether people want to go.
Well, no, they don't all go back because suddenly the education department has been able to find what classifies as a loophole with Anzac Day being on the Friday. A lot of schools are actually having 3 weeks off. A
couple of noted Catholic schools in the Geelong region are having the 3 weeks.
Yeah, so not all schools are going back on the
Well, most public schools, well, all public schools are. Sunday in Melbourne, up to 8 mil of rain.
8 mil on Sunday.
Between 1 and 8.
The track will just be a soft 5, King. It'd be absolutely perfect. We know jarring up.
Good. Get there early. Just the MCG has tightened security going in after that incident a couple of weeks ago. So please, yeah, give yourself plenty of time, and parking, I suspect, will be at a premium in that neck of the woods too. So keep an eye on that. Benny, off the KFCX, some questions. Would you like some?
Absolutely. I love questions, Kingy.
All right, hang on. Let me just head to the Cat Attack podcast file that I put up. Chris Quinet, if the Holmes-Smith combo doesn't get the old Vakanoisen firing on all cylinders, I don't know what will. Not sure yet on danger going forward. He obviously attracts the footy, but it seems to be really impacting the flow of other forwards. Not sure if it's best for the team.
Oh, geez, that's a big call. I mean,
well, you did mention that Ollie Henry seems to be the player.
Well, he does, but if Dangerfield's kicking four, you know, and regularly hitting the scoreboard and creating the chaos that he's creating, then you're probably going to have to bite the bullet and say that this may not be Ollie Henry's year. Mm. I mean, if Dangerfield's struggling and Ollie Henry's struggling, then you've got a problem.
Yep.
But Dangerfield has taken over the Ollie Henry role and at the moment is playing it on steroids. So, the byproduct of that is, or the old collateral damage, have you ever had that, is that Ollie Henry's struggling. But I don't see it being a problem. As long as Geelong's midfield can hold its own, I'm leaving Patrick Dangerfield close to the big white ones. Because close to the big white ones, we've said this before, he has the ability to burst. He gets up the ground. He loses that ability to burst at his age. He doesn't have, you know, the stamina to be able to create that over a four-quarter period. But when he plays inside, or predominantly inside forward 50, he can wreak some havoc. And we saw what happened in the last quarter last week.
Tom Atkins has played 132 games for Geelong. Has he played many better than he played Friday night?
Well, he was good.
Thursday night.
Would he be top three in the best and fairest?
Yep.
Yeah, I reckon he would be too. He'd be one.
Holmes.
Do you reckon?
Yep.
I reckon Zach Guthrie might be one.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Jack Henry would have been up there till he got injured.
Yep. Lawson Humphreys.
Yeah, he'd be up there. He'd be up there.
Probably a discussion we'll revisit around halfway mark.
Yeah.
We're only a quarter of the way through the season.
But
you don't win the marathon by leading them out of the Olympic Stadium.
No, you don't, Kingy. You don't win the marathon if your batteries run out about a metre from the boundary, a metre from the finish line too, as happened to Jaime in an episode of Get Smart where his batteries went and Max had to push him over the line.
Teddy G, just a bit of love for our saviour in the ruck who initiated several of our centre clearances. That would be Reece Stanley.
Yeah, look, he was good.
He was better than O'Brien.
He was, yeah. Look, he's been good in two games. The thing that was interesting, Kingy, was we had him on after they beat
Melbourne,
the Demons, and he said that he'd had a really good preseason. So, you know, that's the basis for everything.
He'd had an unencumbered preseason, Ben.
Is that what he said? No, was that the expression?
No,
he would never have said that, Kingy. He would have had to phone a friend to find out what that meant.
But it was unencumbered.
Yeah, it was, and he made mention of that, and that's been a good thing. If you're able to get through, particularly as an older player, he was happy with his preseason. He's put the work in and he's come in and played well. And as I said to someone during the week, he doesn't need to be Peter Moore. Hmm. He doesn't even need to be Dudley Moore.
He's a bit taller.
He needs to be milky more. He needs to be somewhere in the middle, Kingy, and just be a competitive player for his team, provide something. He doesn't need to be the best player, and he's done that the last 2 weeks, and it's been good.
Dave Twist, I'm hoping we've learned our lesson from the Saints game. Come out 100% ready to go, and like Port, put the pressure on from minute one, especially on their midfield and back line. Otherwise, the Hawks will be having a much better Easter Monday than the Cats.
I heard Chris Scott on Footy Classified, Kingy, last night. I didn't watch it, but I saw it. I watched a replay of it, actually. I went down some sort of worm. Have you ever gone down a wormhole?
Is that like going down a rabbit hole?
Well, it's similar. Yeah, anyway, I ended up watching Chris Scott on Footy Classified on YouTube.
He's very good to listen to in that space. When he's in a discussion.
Oh, he likes the whole court, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. a panel forum that he was in is, and he's getting questions from left, right and centre, that is not a media conference during the week. So what his appearance then wasn't a club-sanctioned appearance. You'll see he wasn't in a club polo.
No, he was wearing an Armani suit.
Yes, he was.
He was wearing an open-necked sort of... I thought he might have been related to Don Johnson with what he was wearing.
Ready for Miami Vice.
And he'd arrived in a boat.
Ready to solve
anyway,
something.
Anyway, he did speak quite well. But he made mention of Hawthorn's ball use. Mm. They're a very good ball-using team. And I know we use that flippantly about, you know, some teams, but... if you allow them the time and the space, they use the ball really, really well, Hawthorn. So Geelong's pressure is going to need to be A1, and Hawthorn are going to be wanting to rebound off the back of last week. So really interesting start to Monday, Easter Monday game.
Adrian Mancini, hey boys, I'm a massive Ollie Henry fan, and while he's not impacting at the moment, he is crucial. Does he have the capacity to add more defensive pressure to his game like Stengel did versus the Crows?
Who's that from?
That's from Adrian Mancini.
Yeah, well, Adrian, I'm right next to you there, so we're fully aligned on that thought. Yeah, he's got to find ways to get involved in the game. Now, it's not natural to him, but he does need to do that. I 100% agree with you, because I think... I've just been waiting for him to have the 3 or 4 goal game. It hasn't happened. Even with, I mean, he kicked an early goal, didn't he, against the Crows?
He did.
Yeah. And then I thought, here we go, and it wasn't here we go. But I agree. He's got to get involved in the game, and he doesn't need to get the ball 20 times. He just needs to maybe be laying pressure. He needs to be corralling players. He needs to be, you know, forcing something. Even we saw early in that last quarter on Thursday night, Dangerfield with the smother that set up the goal that Cameron kicked, which set them on the way. Just something like that. But I 100% agree. That is a really good point. Get involved in what perhaps doesn't come naturally to you, and then those things that do come naturally to you will happen naturally, Kingy. How many times can you get naturally into the one sentence? How many? Did you count them?
I wasn't counting.
3, I reckon.
Yeah, right. Pivotoni of Geelong. Geelong pull out a Swifty and bring in Polkinghorne for Myers. Tall, agile, strong mark. I dare you to discuss. Jay Polkinghorne is not coming to the Geelong team on Easter Monday. Jay Polkinghorne's got a bit of work to do in the VFL. Yes, the Cats rate him highly, but he needs to spend some time at state league level working on his craft.
Yeah. Have you ever worked on your craft?
Now, he's not pushing Ryan Myers out of that team, especially if 8 mils of rain are going to fall on Monday.
Well, I don't care how many mils of rain fell. He's not pushing Ryan Myers out. Premieres. He was really good after quarter time, Ryan Myers. Yep.
Premieres, Ollie Henry terribly out of form. Yep. You don't mess with the captain. So that's Bailey Smith's comment after why he flipped the bird at fans walking down the race on Thursday night. Doing a Geelong is now a thing, GWS. The Hawks are under pressure. Bring on Easter Monday. I don't think the Hawks are under pressure.
No, they had one bad half. They're not under pressure. I mean, they'll be under their own pressure that they put on themselves to come out and rebound off a really poor half of footy. But it was one half of footy where they were poor. I mean, they got it back from 71 into under 30 points. Mm. And they actually had one point there for a sneaking probably 2 or 3 minutes. Port Adelaide fans were nervous. Mm. But yeah, they're not under pressure. This competition is absolutely brutal. If you think your team's going to go out there every week and dominate the opposition for 4 quarters, and then when they don't, you turn around and go, oh, geez, we're struggling, I think you're an absolute buffoon. It's just not going to happen. Bar perhaps West Coast and Richmond, the other teams, if you are not getting to near your levels, They can make you look silly. They may not beat you, but there'll be quarters where they make you look silly.
Well, Richmond made Freo look silly at times in the first half on Sunday.
They did. They more than matched them.
Yeah.
We saw, even North Melbourne, I know they have some up and down results, but if you take the eye off the ball against North Melbourne, they've got the cattle to make it really difficult for you. Yeah. Look at Geelong. I mean, do you think as long as my ass points to the ground, that if Geelong were playing in a final this weekend against St Kilda, do you think they would beat St Kilda?
Yes.
Yeah. They could. St Kilda made them look second rate in the first half 3 weeks ago. Yeah. It's just it's such a difficult competition that you've got to find ways of winning ugly every now and then. Because that's the way the competition works, and the good teams find ways of winning ugly. And if I'm pinning my dollars on a team to win the premiership right now, it's GWS. They dismantled St Kilda. They were doing it, in horse analogy, on the bit.
Marky Mark the Lamp. Big up to Benny for being the only person to pick Geelong win in the Carrick team.
Yes.
Going to be a big game.
28 points. I was only 9 out.
Wasn't bad.
You laughed.
I did.
You laughed and said you've lost your mind.
No, I didn't.
You did so.
I just laughed.
You laughed, which means you've lost your mind. And I was only a goal and a bit out.
Will Geelong go to school on the rough stuff shown by Port Adelaide?
I wouldn't have thought.
No, it's not the Geelong
way. No, it's not. It's not. You're not going to win with rough stuff. Yeah. You know, it was really interesting that game, because I mean, it was so built up externally, and you know that Kenny Hinckley sort of coaches a lot on emotion and, you know, motivational type, perhaps what you would classify as old style. But I was just really surprised that a Sam Mitchell-led team just capitulated in that first half, just weren't up for it and was so poor. Yeah. And then once they sort of got themselves sorted, they got back into the game, but it was too late.
Randomness. When Collar is fit, hopefully soon, will he be kept out of the side because of O'Sullivan? As good of a defender as Collar is, I can't say his input has been any greater than what O'Sullivan is showing. Also, chances from 1 to 10 that Geelong have yet another late change come Monday. Well, the last two have been through illness, which can happen.
Yeah. Did you think it was a bit odd? I mean, Tom Stewart seemed fine the day before when he was dressed in his cat thing in a park.
But that can happen.
Do you reckon?
The old 24-hour bug.
Well, you're Gonski.
Well, never happened
to you. You go from in your Geelong gear in a park at a press conference, seeming as happy as Larry, to within 12 hours, you're wearing an adult nappy.
It's happened to plenty of people that you've been good.
I reckon he's new. He couldn't move the week before. Mm. He was moving like he had a stone
issue.
Why
wouldn't they just say that then?
Well, who knows? They play ducks and drakes. Do you think a club's going to offer up that somebody's...
Just back on Jake Colajasny.
Yeah.
Yes. That's not an easy... Just on Jake Colajasny. People want clarification. He came up as a unrestricted free agent during the week. Mm-hmm. He's signed for next year. He's not playing anywhere else other than Geelong next year. So, yeah, don't read too much into that.
Have you heard any updates as to when he might be back?
It's now at one... He might play VFL this week. He probably will play VFL this week.
He'd need at least a couple in the twos.
Yeah.
The thing about
that... there might be good timing, actually, then, to get O'Sullivan maybe a rest.
Mm.
But he's not showing any signs of lagging at the moment, Connor O'Sullivan.
No, and it's interesting. We talked about it pre-season that... And I said, you know, O'Sullivan would be lucky. It would be good for him if he could get 6 to 8 games.
And I said 15.
Yeah, and I laughed. And...
lost my mind.
Yes, and I thought you had. And now I'm thinking that it's actually a conversation you would have. I still think Colajasny, if you're getting to the back end of a long season with a second-year player, you know, there might be some fragility there with Connor O'Sullivan. Not in a negative way,
but you could have said that about De Koning in 22.
Possibly. Yeah, 100%. So it'll be. I think it'll just be see how he is. Colajasny, it may be missing this part. Colajasny had a pretty good pre-season, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he only get injured just prior to the season?
It happened. I reckon he played against Essendon.
Yeah, I reckon he did. Yeah, in the second half. Yeah, he did. Yep. So he's obviously had a good pre-season, has got an injury which has put him out for a month. Mm. It may be that it works out really well for Jake Colajasny, that he's finding his feet in the middle of the year. Now, yeah. Does he have a little bit more versatility than O'Sullivan at this stage of his career? Probably.
Yep.
Is he a bigger body? Probably. Is he more experienced? Definitely. How does that all play out? The thing is that it's a probably a good problem to have.
Rexy, after last week's discussion regarding Ollie Henry, I watched him at ground level against the Crows. He didn't want to lead up, play in front or jump for balls. Looks like a player who doesn't want the spotlight or the responsibility at the moment. I reckon he has what it takes to be a star.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. He fumbled a couple of times too, which is a bit unlike him.
Which makes things look worse than they really
are.
Yeah,
because, I mean, where we were calling from, Kingy, we had a bird's eye view of one end of the ground, and he did fumble a little bit. And look, I'm his biggest fan. I'm cheering for him every time he goes near the ball. So, he's in a patch. It'll be really interesting to see how he gets himself out of it.
If Cam Guthrie doesn't get himself right by mid-year, should he pull the pin and open a spot for the mid-year draft?
Oh, I think so, Kingy.
I don't think so.
You leave him in.
I just let him give Cam Guthrie, who's played 240 games.
Yeah, but he knows. If
Premiership play, give him every chance to get himself right.
Well, and if the medical advice mid-year is you are right to come back in the next week or two and you perhaps have a run into the finals, yes. If the medical advice is you are a 20% chance of getting back, surely Cam Guthrie makes that decision himself. It's got to be a medical decision.
Yeah, I'd still give him as long as it...
I wouldn't.
No. Okay.
Not if the advice is that you are going to be lucky to get back inside the next 6 weeks. So you're going to get back a couple of weeks before the season ends. I'd be thinking, I'm not.
So you're not giving him another year next year?
Next year?
Yeah.
Cam Guthrie?
Yeah.
Have you lost your mind?
I'm just asking the question. Have you
had your Metamucil?
That's got nothing to do with my mind.
No, but it keeps you regular. It helps soothe and clear everything. Keeps you clarity.
Ben.
Gives you clarity.
Ben.
Yes.
So you're saying,
have you ever had Metamucil?
No, I haven't. So you're saying Cam Guthrie, even if he was to get back and play back into the year, you're not taking him into 2026?
God, no.
Okay.
No.
Due to smack.
What, after 2 years of being on the sidelines?
Three,
no,
basically.
Yeah, no. No, look, I love Cam Guthrie. He's been a great player. Best and fairest, but no.
Two best. One in the Premiership year, too.
Yeah, look, he's been fantastic and he's a good fella and all that, but absolutely not. No. I mean, this is a business. We're not on the charity stripe here, Kingy. Have you ever been on that?
Dudas Maximus, what more would you do regarding rule changes, fine suspension to reduce long term injuries, including concussions and CTE? Accidents are going to happen on the footy field. The AFL, they have a great understanding of how, things work with the concussions than they've ever had. And I think the rules have been adjusted. I don't think they can make much more rule changes to...
No.
Accidents are going to happen. You're playing a collision sport.
A 360-degree collision sport.
Yep.
It's just inevitable, unfortunately, and that's what you sign up for. I mean, there's a duty of care. I think players react differently now in certain situations than they did previously. Every now and then, a player is going to get it wrong.
Yep.
They're going to bump, they're going to fly for a mark, they're going to do whatever it is, and they're going to get it wrong. But there's just nothing you can do to legislate a game that's going to be injury-free. It's absolutely ridiculous to think that. And I mean, they're well paid, they're well compensated, and they know the risks, they sign up for them. And I think the game is a whole lot cleaner than it used to be. But there are certain areas of the game where injuries are likely to happen, and they don't happen that often, but they do. And that's just part and parcel of playing AFL footy. It's part and parcel of playing any sport, really.
Dan Fenton's listening. I still haven't heard Benny's reaction to Mitch Edwards' pelvic overload injury. I see it's now changed to management and to be confirmed. Wonders what is being managed for this type of injury.
I had a pelvic overload once, Kingy, and I missed...
How much?
I missed considerable time.
Did you?
Yes. It required icing quite regularly.
You're right.
And massage therapy.
D-bridge.
But anyway, I came back. I overcame it and came back bigger and better and stronger, Tom.
Would you be okay?
Let's hope that happens to Mitch.
Yeah.
Mitch is a ruckman, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with letting Lawson Humphreys go to West Coast as part of a deal for Reid?
We had this last week, didn't we?
This is assuming West Coast says Humphreys must be part of the package.
I don't know. That's very enticing.
Son of God 29, another great K-Rock call. Boys always syncing K-Rock commentary to the TV broadcast. If you are listening to us now through KRockFootball.live, you can use the little toggle to go back and forth to just sync it up.
I love using a toggle key to go back and forth.
Outstanding second half Cats in Adelaide. Much credit needs to be given to Atkins, O'Sullivan, Holmes, Smith, and especially the 35 who appears to have been bathing in the fountain of youth at Mox Creek.
Yep.
Given rumours swelling around and given the choice, what order would you throw the kitchen sink at? Rowell, Butters or Harley Reid? Thinking about getting another quality mid is massive.
Oh.
So I'd go Reid first, Butters, and then Rowell. Geelong are into Butters.
How do you know that?
They are into Butters.
He'd be on everybody's board.
No, Geelong are. The phrase I had used, given to me, was Geelong are knee deep.
Knee deep?
Knee deep, which is a start.
Right.
But no, there is certainly interest from...
Is he he's an unrestricted free agent or not?
No, he'd be restricted, I would have thought.
Oh, I don't know. Can you? He's a free agent. Have you ever been a free agent?
Not for a long time, Benny.
Well, I'd be going... I mean, this is just all pie in the sky stuff, isn't it? But I'd be going Reid, one, Rowell, two, and Butters, three. Rowell, I know if you don't watch Gold Coast, which a lot of people don't, he's become...
You better start watching.
He has leaned down. He is more agile. He is an absolute gun. If you want the player who's... If you want the superstar sort of front page of the Addy, turning games, taking the high marks, get Reid. If you want the player who's going to get you 25 and have 6 tackles and 10 clearances and kick you 15 or 16 goals a year, you get Rowell.
Tell me when Gold Coast loses, Benny. They play Richmond this week at Marvel.
Yeah, well, they'll win that.
Sydney back on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, they're winning that.
Then they face...
Oh, I had a look. They don't play anyone decent until they come up against St. Joey's in about round 11.
They play Brisbane the week after that.
At where?
At the GABBA ground.
Well, that'll be a big game. That's the Q clash.
The biggest Q clash of all
the
time.
The big Q clash.
Yeah. The Quinton Lynch clash.
Yes.
The big Q stick.
Yes, the big Q. Played at West Coast, didn't he?
He did.
Wet Toast.
Yep.
The big 21.
Yep. Hawks on Easter Monday, 90K plus at the G. Next 3 weeks could define our year. Hawks, Blues and Pies all at the G. 3 wins would give us a great springboard into the second half of the year, having not yet played North, West Coast or Richmond. 2-1 out of those 3 games will be a very good result.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Cats would take that. That was one against the grain, against the Crows. We probably lost one in the opposite direction against St Kilda. I mean, if they lose to Hawthorn at 3-3, it's not toys out of the cot. But I mean, this, as I said, you're gonna win the odd game that you perhaps don't expect to, i.e., Geelong beating Adelaide, and you are going to lose a game you expect to win, i.e., Geelong beating St Kilda, and that's going to continue to happen. So, I mean, would Mackay be back for the Carlton game? Carlton is struggling, but we saw what they did last year. They struggled and then ended up going on this huge run. So you just don't want that run to start against you or to the team that that you support.
Cats 09 wanted to just find out about Jake Colajasny's contract. We have touched on that. So the unrestricted free agents at Geelong, and all Geelong's free agents are unrestricted. Jed Buse, suspect done at the end of this year. Mark Blitzarves, right now, getting another year. Mitch Duncan, done at the end of this year. Cam Guthrie, you suspect he's done at the end of this year. Reece Stanley, well, you suspect he's done at the end of this year, but we've been saying that for about 6 years.
Well, you'd hope Kingy, not any slight on Reece Stanley, but you would hope that he is done only through just natural progression. That they've got other players there they feel can now push through. I mean, we're only hanging on to Reece Stanley because Toby Conway, Loch Ness, is being injured in his own fart sack. The other kids, suddenly we've got all these rookies who just get injured, like going to the Gatorade bin. So they were forced to keep Reece Stanley as insurance because they don't have anyone else. Let's hope that by the end of the year, a couple of these players have pushed through to the point where they think, okay, we can jettison Reece Stanley. He's been great for us. He's served us well. Yep. But we've got some youth coming through that we think is now ready to take that mantle. Because if you've got to hang on to Reece Stanley again next year, that takes another spot on your list.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, like I said, it's nothing against Reece Stanley. I just hope it's a natural progression of your footy club that the Cats can actually move on from him next year.
He'll end up playing about 160 games for the club. Yeah,
look, he's do you know what he's dunking? He's created some really good talking points for us. He's been on the tips of everybody's lips, hasn't he, for a long period of time.
Fox Dog 50.
He was polarising.
I think currently, as we speak, in form-wise, Dangerfield is the best forward in our team.
Well, you'd say that, yeah. You probably can't disagree with that. He's the most impactful. He looks dangerous every time he gets near the ball. His ability to get to balls that you don't think he can is great. He just creates a contest, and that brings others into it. Stengel, Close, Manor. I like Manor. He didn't have huge numbers. I like the way...
But first game.
Second game back. Yeah, yep. Second game back. I like the way he ran the game out. He was quite good in the last quarter when he missed the pre-season, so obviously his conditioning is pretty good. I like Manor. I think Manor just gives you something. That kick he did on the outside of his right shoe to Cameron in the last quarter, that was an absolute ripper.
But also
I mean, he should have kicked it on his left. Yeah. But players these days, for whatever reason, the game's gone through the roof in skill, and half of them can't kick on their non-preferred side.
Just to prove that we are live, Benny, for those who are listening to us through CarrickFootball.live, we're just watching The Chase on Channel 7. Oh, the question's now gone, but it was just to do with an architect who designed some South American city. Anyway, we move on. Foxdog 50. Also, Benny, I'm with you in regards to Ollie Henry. Big fan, but he's currently out of form. You can keep him and wait till he gets goals under his belt and the form will come. Don't think it, though, it's fair for guys like Ollie Wiltshire, who's been playing good football and deserves to be rewarded. Nothing wrong if Ollie Henry gets dropped, spends a game or two in the VFL. Ollie Henry is not yet at that point.
No, he's not, but I don't think he's as far away as he was. I mean, I'm his biggest fan, so... he's got to find a way to get involved. So let's hope it's this week against the Hawthorn Footy Club at the MCG. No better time to do it. And he just needs to get some... Like, I do agree with the previous or the correspondent earlier. Just he's down on confidence. Mm. And that sort of impacts your ability to want the ball. It impacts your ability to move. He's also probably thinking, I don't want to get in the way of Dangerfield. There is an element of that, perhaps. Mm. I mean... I don't think he'd ever say that, and it's perhaps not a conscious thing. He's not going out there thinking, oh, where's Patrick Dangerfield? I don't need to be over there. No. But it creates a bit of hesitation, and at that level, if there's hesitation, then suddenly you're out of the play. You're not involved in it. So whether or not that's a factor, it's an intangible, we'll never definitively know, but I'm tipping that it is. But he's got to find a way to work through that. Can he come up the ground a bit? Maybe. Possibly.
Howler 41, Easter might be this weekend, but last Thursday, 30 points down. Cats were metaphorically being nailed to the cross, but by the end we had resin, little blue pill style. The debate is over. SDK is a defender. He offers the side so much more there. Greater Geelong Area Tourism Coordinate, Reece Stanley. That's very, very funny.
Tourism Coordinate.
Yeah. Ruxin. Actually, somebody asked about Clayton Oliver. I think the Cats have still got an interest there, by the way. We hope Loch Ness...
Is there anyone Geelong don't have an interest in?
I'm sure they asked the question.
Everybody has
apparently Jamara Ugal-Hagen's. Chris Scott said, what did he say? Dangerous conversations.
Is this going to be dream? It's going to be a dream team, is it? So we're going to get Raoul Butters, Harley Reid, Jamara Ugal-Hagen, Oliver. This is going to blow the show.
They're all going to play for unders.
They're going to what?
All play for unders.
They're all going to play for $200,000 and maybe a voucher for a nice meal somewhere.
Ollie Henry's not in super form. Thought he caused a couple of turnovers, which resulted in goals. 12-possession, 4-goal game. He's just around the corner. Finally, a stat at halftime. The Crows, Matt Crouch, had 10 possessions, gaining his side 11 metres.
Yeah, so that's about, what, 0.9 of a metre per possession?
No, that's 1.1.
Oh, is it? No, what did you say? 9 metres?
10 possessions, 11 metres gained.
Right, yeah, maths was never a strong point, Kingy, no. But yeah, well, I
but
mean...
But you look, still seem to know how to put a multi on.
I can do that, Kingy.
And know what it's going to pay. Hey, how did Ludwig Arberg go for you in the US Masters, Benny?
Well, now, fair to say, old Ludwig, he shit the bed, and it cost me... It cost me a lovely little... Well, I was thinking, how good is this? He's going to finish third. I needed him to finish top five. Yeah. And then I don't know. I couldn't bring myself to watch it, but he had a triple on the last.
Oh, jeez, it was fun texting
And it blew my multi to the Scheisenhausen, which was an absolute disaster.
Gamble responsibly, by the way.
And, Kingy, do you know what? The more what?
No. Daz Broncos, supreme call and a sterling win. This from Daz, not only by the Cats, but Oscar Piastri in the Bahrain Grand Prix.
He's good. He's kicking some goals. Pardon the pun, Kingy. He's Oscar Piastri.
With Easter Monday bearing down us, can we keep things on the straight and narrow? Do we go a bit like Benny's two favourite receivers, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, and go all crazy and whacked out as the race there, McLaren and Lambos against each other? There's a video, apparently, is there?
Of what?
Oh, well, his Daz has embedded something.
Of?
I haven't watched it.
I'll have to have a look.
I'm for the straight and narrow, like Tom Atkins. How bloody good is Tom Atkins? Not the highest ceiling player out there, but gets the most out of himself. Made the difference last week. Closey, as I've said for a while, is the same type of player. Can we keep both in the side, or is there only room for one of them?
I'd like to, hopefully we'll get Tom Atkins on after a game, Kingy, because I just wonder whether he trained any differently this season, in the off-season, or whether he, you know, changed anything up, or whether he, you know, whether it's just, you know, really doing exactly the same thing as got him back. Because, I mean, last year he was okay, wasn't he? He was not to the level he is, though, in these five games.
No.
So, yeah, hats off to him. He's been great. His pressure is great. He allows, and we've said this for a long time, he allows players like Smith and Holmes to perhaps be a bit more offensive because he's doing the defensive stuff. If you don't have players doing that defensive stuff, that's when and they're all going one way, it becomes an issue. So Nevitt's the other one. I know he didn't get massive numbers, but I thought he was okay against... I noticed he had limited game time in comparison to some of the other midfielders.
He played 66% game time.
Yeah, some of them up in the 80s.
Still had 13 disposals.
Yeah, I thought he was handy. Look, that's a good experience for him on the road. Big game, big crowd, hostile environment. All that is great for him, but I thought he was okay. But he's another one that his big body was good around the ball.
My third nipple, Benny, athleticism and agility can only get you so far. Can the Cats continue to afford persisting with Ollie Henry?
Oh. Jeez, they're awful.
Aren't they?
Well, actually, no. There's been some positive stuff, but I do agree. Watch this space. I don't think, like you thinking, at this stage, I don't think he's a droppable player because of his ability to be such a playmaker.
The question is, can he develop a tank and become a midfielder?
Well, I think he has got a tank. I think he's athletically very gifted, so I don't think that's an issue. The whole family's athletically pretty gifted.
Yep.
That's why I wonder whether he could... I said no last week, but I'm wondering whether they could try just to... Not play him permanently as a wingman, but just maybe get him into the game a little bit.
My worry is the further up the ground he goes, the more he could get torched by an opponent.
I'm not suggesting you play him at half back.
Up the ground. But if you don't have a defensive, you've got to have a defensive bent to play on a
wing. He comes up the ground a little bit. Allow Dangerfield, Cameron and Neil to play closer to goal. You can't have four players playing close to goal.
Khan Catters, g'day boys. Kingy, can we get your take on the injury list? A Kingjury list, if you will. Cam Guthrie, for instance. Is he weeks away, months away, career in doubt? The official one from the club makes as much sense as I did at midnight after the 2022 granny. I think he's career in doubt.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be shocked if we see Cam.
It's got to be career in doubt. You said they should hang on to him, though, for the rest of the year.
Well, try and see if they can at least do the right thing by him.
Well, the medicos will decide that, Kingy. I think that's where it'll come. What it'll come down to. And is he training? Is he doing anything?
Not that we've seen. So I saw him 2 weeks ago when main training was on.
You said he was in the stands having having a 4-20, was he?
No, he wasn't having a 4-20. Cam Guthrie doesn't strike me as a 4-20 man.
What do you think he'd be having?
Oh.
Like some sort of camembert and a light sorbet?
I don't think
what would he be having?
I'm not sure.
What would you be having?
What, if I was sitting in the stands?
Yeah.
I'm looking for a hot dog, thanks.
Do you like a hot dog, dude?
Yeah. I like the ones in the US.
Would you go mustard and sauce or just sauce?
Just sauce and a bit of onion.
Right.
Bit of, you know, the old fried onion.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, which makes my wife really happy.
I had last night, Kingy, I had the dinner of champions. I had six steamed dimmies and
yum. And how much soy sauce?
No, not much. Just a light drizzling. It wasn't a sort of a puddle of. But I
drowned my.
Fair to say, Kingy,
I don't want to know.
What? The rest of the family
weren't impressed.
No. There was a call from the junior. All I could hear from the other end of the house was, and this always makes me laugh, particularly when it's coming from a 12-year-old. I hear her say to another member of the household, I think an animal has died in here. It was a disaster. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Are we doing Hydro's Heroes?
Oh, we are, Kingy. We've got some good numbers too from Hydro.
What are our numbers this week?
So some of my favourite numbers. Six.
Oh, that's a given.
Well, it is, but you need to pad for me, Kingy.
So the six is, so this is obviously Hydro's Heroes is the best player to wear a particular number since 1975. So the career could have finished in 75.
Yep.
or started in 75 and obviously has been the last 50 years.
It just gives us an opportunity to mention some other players too who may not reach the criteria. Right. But so Gareth Andrews wore 6.
He did.
For those who did not know that, I did not know that.
Yep. But he was finished by...
Yeah, he was, yeah. But yep. This is just not players who did wore. Yep. We can reminisce, Tom.
Peter Piano wore the 6.
Peter Piano, did he? Did yep. he wore 6, did he?
Yep.
And I went to school with his son, Stephen.
Yep.
Primary and secondary school.
And Peter coached the Cats to the 67 grand final.
He did.
Yep.
He did. So the other one on there, Kingy, Dwayne Russell. He
got to the 50. So qualification is 50 games.
Yep. I remember he had a game in the wet at home where he tore someone apart. I forget who it was, down here at GMHBA.
I didn't realise David Spriggs played 64 games.
Yeah, David Spriggs. He had an enormous engine. Yeah. He could not hit the side of a barn with his kicking, unfortunately.
Stuart
Lord. He had a huge tank on him, though.
Stuart Lord wore the 6.
Did he?
He only played 74 games for the Cats.
Yeah, not many, is it?
No. Because then you could go to the bush and make more money coaching in the bush than playing... Yeah, you know, league footy back then.
You know, the other one who wore the 6, who changed from the 5 to the 6?
Gary Malarkey.
And I was talking to Hydro during the week, and do you know Gary Malarkey was the first player king ever in the history of the AFL to do? Do you know what he did?
What did he do?
He was the first player to have an official license to do a barrel from fullback. He used to carry it with him in his wallet.
Yep.
And apparently... And he'd get discount at various places.
Apparently Zach Tui had that license too.
Yeah, but the original license, he must have been passed down to Zach Tui.
It was a paper license.
Zach Tui's barrels, he was okay, I suppose. He didn't hold a candle to Gary Malarkey.
No.
Gary Malarkey, every second kick out was a barrel.
Yep.
It went about 75 metres into the middle of GMHBA Stadium.
One of the great what-ifs wore the number 6.
John Barnes.
No, Link McCarthy.
Link, yes, Link. John Barnes is another one, former K-Rock.
Yep.
So I had a funny experience with John Barnes. So we called a game over in Tassie and Barnsley was doing the special comments. And fair to say, King, after the game went, we had about 2 hours to kill before our plane took off. So in true Barnsley fashion, we started to refresh.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was on a very small plane, wasn't it?
It was on like a little tin missile. It was pencil thin, this little missile.
What type of plane was it, Benny?
It was a Fokker Friendship.
Thought it might have been.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a Fokker Friendship. And anyway, so we refreshed and then we got on our little pencil thing. And the problem with the pencil thin arrangement was that it went through the air okay, but there was no lavatory on there.
Oh, no.
No, none.
Flying back to, what, Essendon?
Just from Tassie to... Yes, it wasn't a long flight, but about sort of 15 minutes went, once we reached altitude, Barnsley needed to go to the toilet. So he wasn't the world's biggest ruckman, but he was tall enough in a pencil thin plane. Where and he
193 centimeters.
He had to contort his body to find a find a vessel. And I think he may have filled up about 3 600 mil.
He was busting.
There was Niagara Falls on the thing, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And then the lids went on them. Thank God.
Right.
Anyway, that was one of my memories of Barnsley. So
yes, Link McCarthy was
K-Rock's own.
Yeah.
Great
He's had a wonderful career. Jordan Clark.
Yes, ill-fated. Left the Cats.
But he's playing some good footy.
He is a good player, yeah. And he was pick 15, I reckon.
Rex Hunt wore the 6 when he was at the Cats.
Geez, there was a few sixes. Mm. Absolutely.
Big David Manson, the ruckman, 200 centimetres.
Yes, I remember that name.
Yep.
So it'll have to go to Brad Alton, though.
Yeah, it is. Geelong only had three players who came from other clubs in the 2007 Premiership team.
Brad Alton's. In 07, Tom Harley. And Tom Harley, Brad Alton's, and, oh, geez, I don't know who's the other one.
Cam Mooney.
Oh, Cam Mooney, that's right. Forgot about Cam's. When he won the premiership without having a disposal for the North Melbourne football
team. Started on the bench and then got dragged.
Yes.
You'd love telling the story too. Next number?
The next number, Kingy. So it's going to go to Brad Alton, who was an absolute gun. Great fella too. He was hitting a bit. Remember he had to be defended by Bomber at the press conference when he was just struggling a little bit?
All of you.
Yeah. The old all of you.
But didn't he say all of you, and then he actually bailed Scotty Gallen out and said, but not you?
No, did he?
I think
no,
he basically, all of you. And then there's a... I'm paraphrasing you, but not you.
Right. Yeah. Well, Scotty was spared the wrath, was he? Yeah. Well, he was a great player, Otto, and his ruck work and his ability.
And
the rundown tackle on Michael, what was
Pettigrew.
His name? Pettigrew. In 07.
And just a good bloke.
Yeah. Yeah. And he whittles now. He makes things with wood.
He does.
And he's got a, yeah, everybody, I think he still does that.
He's out sort of in Connawarry.
Yeah, we always, like I always have a joke with him that what he might be making, Kingy, yeah. with his wood.
Next number?
The next number, Kingy, is the number worn by a very, very good fullback for the Cats, number 30. So there's a few players here. So his dad wore it, John Scarlett.
Yeah. And qualifies?
Matthew Scarlett,
yeah.
Who was just a generational fullback. There's a couple of interesting ones.
Tommy Atkins obviously has done all right.
Yeah,
in the
he's third. Done very. Interesting here, Kingy, that there's three Joey's boys on here.
Yep.
Damien Burke.
Yep.
Was the other one. Matthew Scarlett and Tom Atkins.
Yep.
All went to St. Joseph's.
No,
college.
Tommy Atkins didn't go.
Oh, he didn't
St.
go. He played at St. Joey's.
Yeah, he played Joey's.
Where did he go?
Went to college.
Did he?
Yep.
Jeez, I thought there was something not quite right.
Harsh. But just a couple other names. Phil Maddock, really good fella. His son runs around. Playing for...
They call, used to call him Order. Did they?
I don't know.
They must have.
His son Luke plays at Newtown in,
right.
in the GFL.
Yep.
Phil was a definitely one, maybe even two of those reserves premierships in the early 80s. He was part of those. Who else was there? Glenn Bowe was a really good local footballer as well. First ever coach of Newcombe.
Can you know that you know stuff that
One of our old K-Rock colleagues, actually two of our K-Rock colleagues were the 30, Brian Brushfield.
Right.
And Bruce Peake.
Bruce Peake?
Bruce Peake, yep.
Oh, pasties. No relation to Brian.
No relation to Brian.
And you know the other one who wore 30?
Craig Bittescombe.
Craig.
Who's winning cricket flags?
Bittescombe. It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Who wins cricket?
Bittescombe. What do you think it sounds like? Bittescombe.
It's like a dessert. I'll have the Bittescombe, thanks.
I can't remember. Hydro had a funny one. He told me, I can't remember what it was, but he had a funny description of the Bittescombe.
Mm.
The Bittescombe. It's like having with Crichton's, he went over to gather around Crichton's, and he had what he described as a sudathon.
You're drinking.
He called it a sudathon.
There was a bloke who played for the Cats in the late 20s called Frank Keppel. Did you reckon they called him Great?
Great, possibly.
I don't think Great Keppel Island existed. I don't think people were sunning themselves off the Queensland coast back in the 1920s. It's a very simple one, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, Matthew Scarlett. He was just a generational fullback. He wasn't the biggest players. I think he's probably 193, maybe.
Yep, 192.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He was 192. His dad was 191. And I would have always thought of Gunner being taller.
Mm.
But possibly because of the year a Gunner played in, he was tall. You know,
the players have got taller.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam Dukani would have been a giant like 30 years ago.
Yep.
Now he's a... not regulation, but he's a key defender.
Yeah.
Look, Scarlett was fantastic. His one-on-one work was great. He along with Dustin Fletcher, was probably the fullbacks that made it an offensive position where they'd actually mark the ball, they'd get involved in the game. Previously, the fullback was there just to stop someone. That was their sole job, Gary Malarkey style. And Gary Malarkey was very good at it, don't get me wrong. But Scarlett changed... transformed the way fullback was played a little bit alongside with Fletcher, and look, he was an absolute gun. There were some forwards that hated playing on him. I remember he used to absolutely tail David Neate every time he played on him for some reason. He just had the measure of players, and I think he was pretty ruthless on the lip alongside Corey Enright. He was just a star of the show, the old Scarlo, and was key to their premierships. He still looks fit too. I saw him not that long ago. He looks, I can't say that.
No.
But he's fit.
He's fit.
He's
yes.
fit.
And the last number, Benny?
He's all R&R, King, R&D.
Yep.
What's that mean?
No, I've got no idea.
No, that's it, King. Just the two numbers, 6 and 30.
Oh, that's
so it. We're going with Matthew Scarlett and Brad Ottens, a couple of modern day or recent champions of the Cats.
Yep, absolutely.
Did Brad Ottens play more games for the Cats than Richmond? I reckon he played just a few more, but he did play a lot for Richmond.
I thought he might have played a few less.
Oh, maybe. No, good ones at the Cats.
Oh, it was unbelievable pickup.
Unbelievable.
He played 100.
That's what Bobby Davis used to say. Unbelievable.
116 for Geelong, 129 for the Tigers.
Right, so he played more at the Tigers. There you go.
Yep. But spent same amount of years at each club. 7 years at Richmond and 7 years at Geelong.
Yep. And now he's whittling.
He's whittling. We're out of here, aren't we?
We're out of here, Kingy. We're looking forward to Easter Monday. Should be an absolute cracker. A good old-fashioned, Kingy, what we'd love to call a humdinger.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.